Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. And we're podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later in the program, Robert Knott will be with us, as he is just about every Friday, speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome storyteller Joe Hayes. His newest book is Baila Nana Baila, Dance Nana Dance, and he will be doing a reading tomorrow, September 20th, at 2 o'clock at Garcia Street Books here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
So this is a wonderful, richly, beautifully illustrated book in English and Spanish. How did you find yourself in Cuba collecting folktales?
Well, I went to Cuba for the first time in 2001. To participate in a workshop in translation from Spanish to English.
So you're a Spanish speaker.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was, the workshop was primarily in La Habana, and so I started asking around about storytellers and tracked some down, and that was my first connection. And then they started pointing me in the direction of Cuban stories, and I got fascinated with those. And so I thought, these stories should be available for readers in the U.S. too. So I started working on retelling some of them.
One thing that's so interesting is in the introduction to your book, you talked about how within a very short time you were talking to the director of folkloric studies for the whole country, and just the warmth and friendliness with which people greeted you.
Yeah, it's amazing how welcoming the people are, and actually how appreciative of any interest that you take in their country or in their work personally.
So these stories have Spanish origins, African origins, and other origins as well?
Well, primarily those two. Primarily from their Iberian stories or European stories or stories of African origin. Those are the two main threads of story.
And can you tell from the stories which one comes from where?
Oh, pretty much so. The animal stories, for example, primarily are of African origin. The more magical stories often are more mythic sort of stories are of African origin. And as I mentioned in the introduction, almost all Cuban stories have at least some kind of a refrain that's sung in them. But the African stories have much more music incorporated within the stories, and a lot of call and response.
Which is the nature of the music as well as the storytelling.
Exactly, yeah.
So did you actually hear Cuban storytellers telling some of the stories that you collected?
Some of them, not all of them. But some of them are actually quite popular with Cuban storytellers, and others.
Do they have Cuban storytellers the way they have Joe Hayes's?
They do. Yeah, there's quite an active storytelling movement in Cuba. Of course, they're not freelancers the way I am because everything is very structured in Cuba. So they have to be sponsored by the Writers and Artists Union, and they participate in festivals or get sponsored to do tours around the country. Now the storytellers are being sponsored to go into the center of the island where the devastation was the worst from the hurricane to work there among the people just to try to lift people's spirits and bring some artistic entertainment to the people who were suffering so much because of the hurricane.
It's so interesting that a country with such a deep understanding of dance and music would also understand the importance of storytelling during times of disaster. I'd be very surprised if our National Endowment for the Arts would do the same.
Yeah, you can't imagine that the National Endowment for the Arts would send storytellers to New Orleans after the hurricane or to Houston now.
Right, right.
It's a sensitivity that we don't have.
That's very cool. Would you like to tell a Cuban story?
Well, I was thinking of telling a story, and it's a story that's really been on my mind a lot because of the recent hurricanes. You know, Cuba was hit by two hurricanes in the space of about a week, and Hurricane Ike just ran the length of the island. It entered through Holguín province, and Holguín, of course, is our sister city in Cuba.
Right, right, right.
And so this story has been on my mind a lot, and this is a story it doesn't begin a long, long time ago. It begins back before there was such a thing as time, because there were no people to notice the passage of the days and the seasons and the years. But there was Cheche Calunga, the high, high hill, and at its feet it gave way to Entoto, the valley, and that stretched on to the shore of Calunga, the sea. And in the sky up above, there was Sambia, the restless, creative spirit. And the days came and went with little change as Sambia looked down from up above. And then he thought of making a new creature. So with his hands, he fashioned Yakara, the first man. And that night, Sambia breathed life into Yakara. He left him asleep in the center of the green valley. And when Yakara awoke the next morning, he looked around him in amazement. There were fruit trees and flowers at every hand. All was there for the taking. He took a deep breath and he pounded his chest. And he sang, Yo soy el rey del mundo. Yo soy el rey del mundo. And he walked off picking fruit and tasting it, pulling up plants to inspect their roots, digging in the soil to find rocks that were pleasing to his eye. The high hill, Cheche Calunga, was watching from above. And finally it spoke to the valley. Amiga, it said, ¿Quién es esa criatura que veo lastimándote? Who is that creature down there that keeps wounding you? And the valley answered back, That's Yakara. He was sent by Sambia. Well, Yakara overheard the conversation. He ran to the foot of the hill and pounded his chest. Yo soy el rey del mundo. But the sea, Calunga, overheard the conversation. And she called out, Hermana, no te dejes engañar por ese debilucho. Don't let that little weakling fool you. He can never overcome me, and he can't overcome you either. But Yakara ran to the edge of the sea and pounded his chest. Yo soy el rey del mundo. The sea roared back. Yo no conozco ningún señor. I don't recognize any master. Y le escupió la cara a Yakara. She spit foam into the man's face and sent him running back up the beach. So he turned and walked away, acting as he always did. Finally, Entoto spoke to him and said, Yakara, why do you keep harming me? Have pity on me and my children. But Yakara responded in the only way he could, Yo soy el rey del mundo. And so the earth replied in the only way she could in the face of that abusive man. She shut herself off. She closed the soil and made it as hard as rock. She made the fruit cling tightly to the branches of the trees and the berries to the bushes. When Yakara tried to pick food, he couldn't separate it. When he tried to dig in the ground, he only hurt his hands. So he ran to the base of a high hill and asked for permission to climb up and talk to Sambia. And Cheche Calunga told him, Sube si quieres. When he arrived at the very summit of the mountain, he called out, Sambia, Entoto has shut herself off from me. There's no way for me to get what I need to survive. And Sambia just shrugged his shoulders. He said, Pues allá ella. Yo no me meto en asunto. That's all right if that's what she wants to do. I will not intervene. He said, you will have to resolve this between the two of you. So Yakara walked humbly back down the hill. He said, Entoto, please let me partake of your abundance. If you don't, I'm going to die. And the ever-compassionate earth said, Está bien. I will support you, you and all your generation. I can give you a good life, but what will you give me in return? Yakara looked at his naked body and his empty hands. He said, Pues no tengo nada que darte. I don't have anything I can give you. What do you want? And the earth said, I want you. I want your body and your blood. When your days have ended, you must give me everything. And Yakara agreed. Said, ah, sí, said, that's the way it will be. Con tal de que sea Zambia quien decide. On the one condition that Zambia is the one who decides. When Zambia thinks that the number of my days is finished, you may have me. That's the arrangement that Yakara made on behalf of all of us with the earth. And then he went to the sea to reach an accord with the sea. But again, the sea just spit water in his face and chased him away. And all of this happened back at the beginning of time. But ever since then, that arrangement has prevailed. All of the descendants of Yakara live from the abundance of the earth. Some live really richly, some not so well. But all of them, presidents and kings and beggars and thieves, even little tiny babies, sometimes they sing that song. Yo soy el rey del mundo. Well, about half of them sing it a little bit differently. They say, yo soy la reina, reina del mundo. And the earth listens and the earth waits, because sooner or later she will receive her pay. But remember and be careful that Yakara never reached an agreement with the sea. And so the sea may rise up at any moment. She can build herself into monstrous waves. She can lash out with torrents of rain and devastating winds. Y la mar es capaz de llevarse a los hijos de Yakara en cualquier momento a su antojo. The sea can carry away the descendants of Yakara at any time she wishes to. Remember that and be satisfied, because she never agreed to do anything otherwise.
Joe Hayes, storyteller. Well, that's a lesson in not thinking that we're kings of the world when we're not.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
So that's a Cuban, Afro-Cuban folktale.
That's an Afro-Cuban folktale. Excuse me. And actually, most Afro-Cuban stories are of Yoruba origin.
From West African.
But when you, because of Zambia in that story, that's not a Yoruba story.
No, it didn't sound like it.
No, that's a Congo story.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell us about the Patakis.
Well, a Pataki is a sort of a teaching myth. Most of them are relatively short. They're sort of like the Jataka tales from the Buddhist tradition. The short teaching tales that deal with the Orishas, the deities of
Yoruba religion.
Of the Yoruba religion. Of course, in Cuba, they say Yoruba.
Yoruba.
Yeah, they don't pronounce it Yoruba, but in Africa, it's pronounced Yoruba.
Right.
Yeah, if you say Yoruba in Cuba, they'll correct you and say, oh, Yoruba.
Yoruba. Right, because it's Hispanicized, I guess.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and just as the religion is a blending of the African religion and Catholicism.
And so they have sort of little moralistic tales that they tell as part of the religion.
Exactly, yeah.
So, In Cuba, the way we know Cinderella or Snow White, I suppose through Disney, but there's numbers of tales that everybody in, every child, every adult in the United States who grew up here knows. Is it the same there? Are there some common tales that every single adult and child knows?
Well, of course, they would know those stories of European origin, probably in the more popular versions of them, just as all the kids here do. And then they might well know stories of more traditional versions of them, just as in New Mexico, you know, people know the Cinderella story, and then the old-timers all know the story of Estrellita de Oro, or Granita de Oro, which is a Spanish version of the Cinderella story. So, yeah, they would be familiar with those.
And unfortunately, I don't think we have time to tell it, but that Spanish version of the Cinderella story bears much more resemblance to the Grimm's fairy tale version of the story than it does to the sort of modern American version of it.
Exactly. Absolutely, yeah.
So they probably have, there's probably common roots way back to that sort of ancient, well, not ancient, but sort of medieval fairy tale tradition.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's the same tradition all over Europe, and, well, all over North Africa and down into India, too, for that matter. The same great body of stories were told all through the Middle Ages. And when the Spaniards left and came to the New World, they were basically a medieval people. So they were still carrying those stories with them in their memories.
Now, are there some characters that come up all the time in the European stories and in the African stories who pop up in various different tales?
Well, there are trickster figures in stories from all over the world. And more often than not in the African stories, the trickster is a turtle. Jicotea is what they call her.
Right.
In Cuba.
Isn't that funny? You would think that a trickster would be, I mean, we're used to coyote here, would be some quick-moving thing instead of a turtle.
Uh-huh. But in a way, it's wonderful because once again, it makes you look at nature in a different way. I mean, we look at coyote, and they sort of have a trickster manner about them, the way we see them. When you look at a turtle, and they're so slow, and you think, how could the turtle be a trickster? So it makes you think of them differently.
We're talking to Joe Hayes, and his new book is called Baila Nana Baila, and that's a great story, too, about a sorceress who won't share fire with the rest of the world until they make her dance until she is too tired to dance anymore.
Yeah, 3 days she dances, and she's an old lady who's just nothing but skin and bones. She dances and jumps over the fire for 3 days until finally she falls down and can't dance anymore, and they get some of her fire. But the story of the theft of fire is another universal story.
I mean, right.
Almost every Native American group has some kind of a story of the theft of fire. And these days, because of the crisis we're in with energy, it's really made me think, this is a story about the beginning of the use of energy.
Right.
When we first acquired fire. And that made me think, golly, there have been energy crises all through history. When they burn up all the firewood, so they had to move to a different area to get more firewood. Discovering fire was the beginning of this crisis that we're in right now with energy.
What about creation stories? Do you have some of those? Well, I suppose the one you just told had a kind of creation story.
It is, yeah. Not so much a full-blown story of how everything got created, but stories of the different elements of creation. There are many of those. And those stories tend to be of African origin.
And some of those are also part of the religious tradition there.
They are, yeah. Yeah, so then they also inform the rituals and the religious practices that harken back to those stories.
We're talking to storyteller Joe Hayes. Tell us about the illustrations in the book.
Well, the illustrations are made by a Cuban-American artist. He lives in New York City, but he's from Santiago de Cuba. I guess he's been in this country for, I don't know, maybe 8 years or something like that. So... It was a very interesting process working with him on the illustrations, and he was just wonderful to work with. He'd do a painting and then send it by email so I could take a look at it, and we'd all talk about it, and then he'd work some more on it. But what's so great is that his style of painting, and you've been to Cuba, so you may have noticed that's pretty typically Cuban. A lot of Cuban painters use a similar sort of style.
Very colorful and very full of movement in
exactly.
The bodies. You can almost see them animated.
Exactly, yeah. And the painting itself is sort of textured too, and that creates another aspect of your reaction to the painting. Sort of the surface is sort of rippled.
So when you tell stories, I mean, the last one you told it really in more in English, but in both languages. How do children who are monolingual respond when you tell in bilingual stories?
Well, they enjoy it a lot, and a lot, especially stories that have a lot of repetition. They pick up on it, then they they're really proud that they've learned a little. If they don't know Spanish, they learn a lot of the children I tell stories to.
So, like in a story like that, would they yell out, "Yo soy el rey"?
Oh, well, right away I would invite them to. We'd all do it together.
Right.
It would be a participation story. Yeah. And the kids who know Spanish, of course, they're so proud. Oh, I know that already.
Right.
And the kids who don't know Spanish are excited about learning a little bit. And sometimes you'll see the Spanish-speaking kids will help the other kids get a little bit better.
So that's what you do. You go around and talk, especially to schools and school children.
I do, yeah. I just got back last night from Colorado. I was visiting schools there.
And as we've talked about before, the last time you were on the show, no matter how technological and special effects our society gets, kids love sitting down and telling and hearing stories.
They absolutely do, yeah. It's kind of surprising in a way, but yeah, it's also very, very, very gratifying. But they do, they really enjoy this story, and they love to be a part of the story. They a lot of times the kids will start to imitate. You'll see their mouths will start to move. And that's interesting because that's actually an African technique of teaching storytelling. The apprentices just sort of sit and imitate the master storyteller. Sometimes the master will be telling and the four people will be telling it at the same time right along with them because they're just following every gesture and every word the master says.
That's it. It's also interesting because it's the way dance is taught. You just watch people dance and then you do it instead of the American way.
You watch people dance and do it. I watch people dance and I do it.
Well, it takes a while, but I mean, children too. There's not... I don't know if this is actually true, but it seems to me that there's not as much didactic and analytical teaching. Now you put your foot forward, now you put it back. It's just like, here, watch what I do and do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and of course, in traditional cultures, kids grow up surrounded by these activities, so they acquire them. And as you know, in Cuba, you see these little bitty kids. As soon as music starts, the little bitty kids start moving along with the music. They just know that's what you do when you hear music.
Well, and then there's 9-year-olds who will dance better than you or I could even dream of.
Exactly.
Joe Hayes is a storyteller. His latest book is called Baila Nana Baila, Dance Nana Dance, Cuban Folk Tales in English and Spanish, retold by Joe Hayes, translated from the Spanish by Joe Hayes, and illustrated by Mauricio Trenard Sayago. And Joe Hayes will be at Garcia Street Books tomorrow, September 20th at 2 o'clock in Santa Fe. For more information, 986-0151. Joe Hayes, thanks so much for sharing your stories once again.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
We're going to take a little break right now. Robert Knott is on deck. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. And he's here with us today and every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome, Robert.
Your voice changes when you introduce me. It's really sweet. It becomes really sort of...
What, it wasn't sweet before?
Seductive. Well, you're professional with everybody else. You're like, oh, Joe Hayes, he's... But with me, it's like, here's Robert Knott. He's just the associate editor of Pasen. We want to welcome him every Friday. So I just love the way you...
Do you think that's wishful thinking on your part?
Well, I wouldn't call it wishful. It might be another adjective you could put in there for the kind of thinking I got. But
hopeful?
No, I don't think I could rectify it on the air. There's a lot of theater going on this weekend, and primarily Theater Grotesco's 12th Night.
12th Night!
Now, I didn't hear all your shows this week. Did you have them on the air?
Yes, I did.
I figured as much. This is their take on Shakespeare's 12th Night, and sort of new text that they put together through improvisation, experimentation, and long, lengthy workshop rehearsals, which I wrote about in today's Pasatiempo. The show opens tonight at 8 o'clock, but it's one of those big gala benefits, so you got to pay more than usual, at Steeren Hall, Santa Fe Opera. So if you want to wait, you can go tomorrow night at 8 o'clock or Sunday night at 8 o'clock. Every show is 8 o'clock.
And there's some pay-what-you-can days.
Yes, there are, and there's student discounts. And you can find out more about it by checking out theatergrotesco.com, reading my story in today's Pasatiempo, or calling the following phone number, 474-8400. Meanwhile, the Arden Players present Molière's Tartuffe.
Tartuffe!
I liked it. I saw it last weekend. They pulled it off. It was pretty nice.
It's a great story.
And I wrote the review in today's Pasatiempo. It's got a few bumps, but doesn't everybody. El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe on 1615B, as in bouncy. Paseo de Peralta. You got to pay to get in. 983-4002. And Santa Fe Recovery Center is teaming up with Revolutionary Angel Productions to tackle Cynthia Ruffin's play, God Ain't Done With Me Yet.
Yep, I saw the rehearsal of that.
Oh, you did? Did you have them on the air as well?
Did. Yes, indeed.
I'm missing everything.
I know, but that's all right. I had everybody but Tartuffe. I wanted to have Tartuffe, too.
Oh. Well, they're opening tonight at 7 at the James A. Little on the New Mexico School for the Deaf on Cirrus Road. Got to pay to get in. Here's the phone number. 471-4985. And finally, in the theater dance realm, Two Women Dancing continues at the Santa Fe Playhouse this weekend. Kate Eberly and Julie Brett Adams doing their dancing thing at 8 o'clock tonight and tomorrow. I think there's a Sunday matinee. I don't know if I'm going to get to it. I have so much to do. I worked all last weekend. I expect to be this weekend, but I'd like to see them. Actually, I don't think they have a Sunday show. I think it's just Friday and Saturday.
And this is something they do every single year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They didn't skip a year?
Oh, maybe they skip a year.
That's interesting.
Maybe they've only done it twice. But we had them on last year. Didn't make it this year.
No. Okay. Well, there you have it.
Well, how about the Santa Fe Renaissance Fair?
How about it?
An official event of the Santa Fe 400 Birthday City Celebration. It's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, from 10 to 4 at El Rancho de las Golondrinas, which is right south of Santa Fe. And it's, well, what do you know about it? It's the Spanish Renaissance.
When did the Renaissance occur?
Well, I think it began in Italy on January 1st, 1400, approximately.
What, that's like the beginning of New Year's? They knew how to start that off already?
No, but it really started right around the beginning of the 1400s in Italy and spread all over Europe. But it's hard to say Spanish Renaissance, Italian, German, I don't know.
How come when people are reincarnated, they're never anybody not famous?
What are you talking about?
Like if you met somebody today and they said, I lived in the Italian Renaissance, even if you were open to the idea of reincarnation, then you would say, oh, what did you do? And they'd be like, I was a princess, or I was the Duke de, you know, Dijon. And they're never like, well, I cleaned out the toilets over there at the public toilets. It's always, this stuff always throws me.
I really don't have any comment on that.
Because like, what were you and I in previous lives, do you think?
I'm sure that I was like a shepherd or something.
Oh, I see. You're trying to be humble now.
I'm. Thanks
so you were out there in the woods with like a little robot and nothing else, hanging out with the lambs?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think any like
you got a, you got something
local
to say about that, Robert?
Well, I thought maybe like a young guy came from the village, so caught you out there one.
How do you know I was a girl?
Oh, I see. You were a male shepherd.
I don't know.
You don't even know what gender you were.
Well, I don't even know that
no
I was
reincarnated. No wonder she's so confused every Friday on the show.
Anyway, right, there's continuous live performances on three stages. There's jousting.
There certainly is.
At noon each day, medieval live combat in armor. There's 9-foot-tall dragons.
Yikes.
Belly dancers.
Yikes.
Royal court, craft vendors, costume contests, a wine and beer garden, ladies and gentlemen, jugglers, turkey legs, and more.
Are there wanton women?
There's always wanton women. You're encouraged but not required to dress in costume. For more, sfrenfair.org. And or you can call 428-2347.
And it's not too expensive, and it's 10 to 4 Saturday and Sunday at El Rancho de los Golondrinas.
There we have it, ladies and gentlemen.
You certainly do. Well, what do you know about the High Mayhem 8th Annual Emerging Music and Arts Fest?
Not much, but I bet you're going to tell us all about it.
Well, let me rectify the situation with a little bit of homogenizing. It seems that it kicks off tonight from 5 p.m.
Homogenizing?
Yeah. From 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. I'm trying to tell people what's
happening. Are you just using multisyllabic words gratuitously?
No, I'm trying to prove to you that not only can I expand my vocabulary, but actually try to, with some confidence, throw in a few words that have, shall we say, 3 syllables.
But that are not necessarily appropriate in the context of the sentence.
They would be if you didn't call me on it.
No, they wouldn't.
Because everybody's just listening.
I only call you on it because they're
people
not.
People are making a left-hand turn out there in Cordova. They don't care what word I use. They're, like, trying to get to work.
At least our pronouns have been in order today so far.
I'll fix that. High Mayhem 8th Annual Emerging Music and Arts Festival. And does Pasatiempo have a spread on this? 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. tonight and 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. Saturday and 3 p.m. to 1 a.m. Sunday. Warehouse 21, 1614 Paseo de Peralta. You can get a three-day pass. Students get a cheaper thing. You can get tickets from the Candyman. Candyman. Hey, Candyman. Come on, everybody. 851 St. Michael's Drive or at the Warehouse 21 door. For information, please see HiMayhem.org or check out Pasta Tampa. Sorry, I got to plug it because it's a really good issue.
High Road Art Tour. Wondrous nature, glorious art. High Road Art Tour this weekend and next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 5. In the High Road to Taos, from Chimayo to Vadito, 70 artists are opening their homes and studios. And you can look at the website highroadnewmexico.com. Or you can call, oh, look, it's a toll-free number, 866-343-5381.
The sometimes controversial Jock Sturgis, photographer, has an opening reception and book signing from 5 to 7 today at Photo Eye Gallery, 370 Garcia Street. It runs through November 1st.
Well, what do you expect if your name is Jock?
Could be. With a name like that, that seems pretty, I don't know, why? What, do you think a name says something about a person's character?
No, it does not.
My, you've never done that to me on this show. There's never been
sorry, that was
47 years of this kind of gags I've had, and all of a sudden now I get it from you, having a little fun with my last name. That's pretty good. I'd like to tie you up in knots and tickle your feet. What the heck was I talking about?
I have no idea, but I can tell you that Small Dog Rescue will be at... Oh, you were talking about Jock Sturgis. Go ahead.
Oh, so yes. So there's a, once again, good Q&A with Doug Fairfield, our new arts writer. Did with Jock Sturgis, opening tonight, runs through November 1st. One of many visual arts events happening around the town. Tell me about the doggies.
The doggies. Small Dog Rescue will be at the Tropic of Capricorn tomorrow, Saturday, the 20th of September, from noon to 3. And there's going to be doggies named a female poodle named Maud, and a Lhasa Apso named Biscuit.
Hello.
And a Schnoodle, which is a schnauzer mixed with poodle, named Coco.
Yeah.
And Petal, who is a wild, friendly girl, who's a little Italian greyhound mix, and they're all friendly and child-friendly and house-trained and spayed and neutered, and
that's
their shots are up to date, and they're good dogs.
In any event, we should take them home and love on them like we do with our dogs.
But I don't have room for any more dogs.
That's what you think. I've seen your place. You could fit three more in there. Yeah, one night when you weren't there, as you see that Milsing silverware, I want to explain everything. I was little having a dinner party, and I needed some...
Palace of the Governors hosts 100 Years of Songs of the Cowboys, a tribute to Jack Thorpe, this weekend, September 20th and 21st. Have you heard about this?
No, but I know all the songs of the cowboys.
You do?
I'm a lonesome cowboy, far away from home, far from the prairie, where I used to roam, where the doggies wander and the wind blows free. How I love to yonder cross the lone prairie. How can I not know that stuff?
That's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
I'm serious.
No, I know that.
Hey, so
September
20th at 6:30, thank you. Songs of the Cowboys, a tribute to Jack Thorpe, the premiere of a 30-minute documentary at the New Mexico Museum of Art, free admission, and then Sunday all day from 8 a.m. Oh, look, at 8 a.m. there's a cowboy feed and read breakfast.
Oh, boy.
And from 11 to 2, there's delicious cowboy cobbler. This seems to be a culinary cowboy event.
Well,
There's music historians Mark Gardner and Rex Rideout performing songs. There's so much going on. But anyway, you can call the Palace of the Governors, and their number is, I know I have it, 476-5096.
Oh, carry me back, carry him back to the lone prairie.
I should go to that.
You should. Where the coyotes howl.
It sounds like fun.
You have
you
Eddie Muller on this week.
Eddie Muller
is
amazing.
I know.
Eddie Muller is a writer about film noir.
He's a very good-looking guy. I can see it in your eyes.
I've never met him. It was on the phone. I don't know what he looks like.
I
did not.
With women today.
Oh, God.
Let me see your
You're
profile.
So projecting your own
never mind.
Visual
I
fantasies.
Know. I got glasses and buck teeth, and I'm skinny, and this guy's got the hoi polloi. He's got, what do you call that, finesse. He's got panache, and he knows about noir. Tell us about it.
You don't have buck teeth.
Well, no, but they're crooked and all sort of... I had a lot of chase scenes when I was young. Film Noir Festival, Screen.
You tell us.
Well, 13, a very unlucky number. Noir films.
Or a lucky number.
From the classic era, from the early 40s to the late 50s, playing at the Screen, including my beautiful, wonderful favorite, who I wish I had met, Adele Jurgens, in Armored Car Robbery. Dun, 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 dun. The Breaking Point, a beautiful picture, terrific picture. Go see it. John Garfield, one of my favorites.
John Garfield, about whom you wrote the definitive biography. Let's not be modest here.
Well, thank you for saying that, but I didn't want to plug that. Night in the City, terrific picture, 1950. Richard Widmark, who I forgot was such a great actor, particularly in the early years where he just electrified the screen with all of his performances. It's a beautiful, terrific picture. Also pick up on South Street, where he's more sympathetic. Sweet Smell of Success, there's a hell of a picture for you. Burt Lancaster and Tony Curtis, co-written by Clifford Odets from the group Theater Days and Ernest Lehman. And they're going to have a special guest star, Marsha Hunt. Marsha Hunt appeared in a great film called Raw Deal, which the Screen could not bring in. The Summer in the Dark couldn't get it this year, so they're going to show Kid Glove Killer, which is another picture she made, and also a non-noir picture called None Shall Escape, which is incredibly topical today.
It's about escaping nuns?
No. No. God. Sorry. You took one of my lines, didn't you? It's about war criminal being put on trial. It's amazing because it was shot in 43 when the war was still up in the air. Nobody knew we were going to win, and it's just a terrific picture. It's not noir. Go see it. Marsha Hunt, 91 years old, and I got to brag now about myself because I, along with her...
You got a date?
Did a great Q&A in today's Pasatiempo. And she is smart and funny and witty, and it's a terrific Q&A. Even if you don't read anything else in Pasa, read this. She's the guest star, and she is one of many noir people that have been coming out for the Screen and Mission Control Summer in the Dark. Terrific. My favorite time of year when the Summer in the Dark becomes the end of summer.
At the Screen at the College of Santa Fe. And I think one of the things that's so interesting, yeah, it's the cover story. I think one of the things that's interesting about film noir is that these supposedly B-list movies were actually a place where, and Eddie Muller talked about this in our conversation the other day, where writers could put some very both dark and interesting and subversive themes into their movies that never necessarily made it into the totally mainstream Hollywood films of that same time.
And also tied in with that, which I touched on in my article, is that many of them, coincidentally or not, were black or gray-listed during the McCarthy era.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them that made these sort of pictures, which we now celebrate, in a strange way, they were sort of outcasts making pictures about outcasts. And
right.
A lot of their careers end up drying up and dying off almost with the end of noir. But yeah, it's a great festival. If you like old movies, go see it. Come on, John Garfield, Adele Jurgens, Gene Tierney in three movies. Whoa. And Marsha Hunt. And Eddie Muller will be the guest star. In case you're wondering, according to the ad in Pasatiempo, he and Marsha will be there at 6:45 tonight for
Today,
None Shall Escape.
I'm going.
And 9:30 tonight for Kid Glove Killer. And then they're going to be there tomorrow for the same thing. So there you go, the film noir. Pick up the Pasatiempo. It's the cover story.
Liquid Bloom presents a groove alchemy event, journey of live world music, dance and performances, and electronic groove Saturday night, September 20th, from 7 to 11 at Body of Santa Fe. And there is fee to get in, and it's slightly lower if you are wearing a costume, ladies and gentlemen. And that's all at Body of Santa Fe, and bodyofsantafe.com is their website.
How come nobody says, come in your undies, you get in for free? The Santa Fe Society of Artists Group show is Sunday, 9 to 5, next to the El Dorado Hotel. And there is a benefit concert for Santa Fe High School for their choir on Sunday at 4 o'clock at the Unitarian Universal Congregation that Marilyn Barnes is going to lead the way on. And I know that FACT is having some sort of fundraising auction this weekend. And I'm going crazy trying to find it in the calendar.
Well, while you're trying to find it in the calendar, let's talk about Barton Gellman.
Barton Gellman, the vice president.
Barton Gellman has written a story called Angler. It's about the vice presidency of Richard Cheney. And it is a terrific book. I read it, stayed up half the night reading it a couple of nights ago. And we did an interview yesterday that's going to air on Monday morning. And then on Monday evening at 7 o'clock at the Armory for the Arts, Barton Gellman will actually be with us. And he's been on every talk and interview program in you know, basically all over the place. It's, the book just came out on Tuesday, so it's very hot. And I don't know why he's coming to Santa Fe as one of the very first books on his tour, but he is. And it's a terrific book. It reads like a political thriller. You know, you like, how did this man know exactly what was happening in the White House and in the bunker under the White House on 9/11 and all that? But it's very good, very well researched, very insightful, and I'm going to be doing the Q&A with him after the
Excellent.
Talk on Monday night.
Monday night.
Mm-hmm. Sponsored by Garcia Street Books, and you can call them for tickets.
Hey, what time is it?
8:50.
Yikes. Los Pintores, Past, Present, and Future. That is the silent auction of paintings with proceeds benefiting the wonderful nonprofit Fine Arts for Children and Teens. Wines, appetizers, live music, 6 to 8 o'clock Saturday at URSA, which is at 550 South Guadalupe Street. You got to pay to get in, but it is a benefit. Here's the phone number, 992-2787. And that's Saturday night.
And I want to say one more thing about the Barton Gellman. Monday is the beginning, or actually Sunday, of the KSFR Fun Drive. And if you want to wait until Monday to get a copy of the book, you can make a donation to KSFR and help our fun drive and get a copy of the Barton Gellman book.
Excellent. Also Saturday, let's say you're not interested in the arts so much. You know, tune in to listen to Robert Knopp because he's sort of on the periphery of everything. But you want to do something fun with the kids. The Santa Fe Air Show is happening this Saturday, 9:30 to 2 at the Santa Fe Municipal Airport, which makes sense. Aviation Drive off Airport Road out there. Not too expensive to get in, and if you're 12 and under, you get in for free.
That would be you?
We ain't talking mentally, we're talking telepathically. Aerobics, I mean aerobotics.
You're telepathically 12?
The thing is, I try to just stick to the listing sometimes because I know if I start getting into a like a word fest with you that I'm going to be outgunned, so to speak.
And creamed?
I'm going to cream you later. Let me tell you, lady. Aerobatics, vintage aircraft, food concessions. I'd like to have you make a concession to me once in a while. And the concession I got in my mind ain't worthy of printing the paper. Lots more, 9:30 to 2 o'clock at the Santa Fe Municipal Airport. Got to pay to get in. Here's a phone number, 424-7124. Come fly with them. Remember those swinging stewardesses in the 60s?
Oh, who's digressing now?
No, well, it's just that, like, I always had this view of them when I was growing up. They were like swingers, and they would be like, you'd come on the airplane, and they'd be like, if you want later, I'll climb into the berth with you, and then you get to see all their birthmarks. But those days are over, and we can't talk that way anymore, so let's not be Agregarian. What else?
The Tin Star Saloon.
Agregarian?
That's not even a word. The Tin Star Saloon presents Friday, September 19th, Stepping Out. That's tonight from 9 to 11. Dance, R&B music, and yes, from 9 to 1.
Santa Fe Wine and Chili Fiesta. They got
a
website.
Is it that time again?
It's that time for the wine and the chili. Food and wine, tasting, live auction, lunch, and cooking demonstrations by guest chefs, participations by local restaurants. Here's a phone number, 438-8060.
Hey, the youth shelters.
Starts next weekend. Starts, when does it start? Wednesday, I think? Yeah, I think so.
Did you hear about the Youth Shelters Open House? Did you read that already?
Go
Youth
ahead.
Shelters Counseling Center Open House today from 4:30 to 6:30 is having an event. It's at 5686B Agua Fria. And at 5:30, there's a special event program in recognition of public officials. And you can tour the new counseling center and emergency youth shelter. You can meet the officials that made that center happen, including Santa Fe Mayor David Koss and good food and music and all sorts of things, and you know, can't sing their praises enough. They're doing God's work.
Nice. Rob DeWalt's Soundwaves column, which touches on music events around town usually every single week in the Paso Tampa, talks about the Globalkirky 2-day world music celebration. It's happening down at the National Hispanic Cultural Center on 4th Street in Albuquerque this weekend. And you can check out a full schedule events on the website globalkirky.com/schedule. You can get various tickets, one day, 2 day. He highlights the group 17 Hippies, which is a 14-year-old Berlin-based ensemble that seems to have 13 members in it. So how they came up with their numbers, I don't know. This stuff confuses me. 17 Hippies, but they're 14 years old, and there's only 13 people in the band. If you add that all up, it comes up to about my age. Meanwhile, if you want to act, you've been thinking, gee, I'd like to do something fun. The Santa Fe Playhouse has open auditions for Arsenic and Old Lace. Yes, it's that old chestnut about a murderous family. 10 a.m. Saturday and Sunday next weekend, not this. Play runs in December. Visit SantaFePlayhouse.org or call their phone number, 988-4262.
Hey, did you already mention that the Metropolitan Opera Live HD broadcast returned to the Lensic
with Renee Fleming
for the 2008-2009 season?
La Traviata.
And there's a, right, the La Traviata, and the 11 opera series begins on Monday, this coming Monday at 7 o'clock, with the opening night gala celebration, Renee Fleming, La Traviata, and all sorts of good things. And that's at the Lensic, lensic.org on the web, and 988-1234 for tickets.
Let me throw out three or four visual arts openings for you tonight. Canyon Road Fine Art has paintings by Wendy Higgins, 621 Canyon Road. Christine of Santa Fe and La Fonda has Visions of Splendor, a group show of mixed media work. No reception. You can go to the Patricia Carlisle Fine Art, 554 Canyon Road, sculpture by David Pearson, reception 5 to 7. Azul Sobre Negro are paintings by Alberto Galvez at New Art Gallery, 670 Canyon Road, reception 5 to 7. Want to walk down to Verve Gallery on Marcy Street? Beautiful Vulnerabilities in New York, photographs by Janet Russick and Josephine Sacabo, reception 5 to 7. And finally, just, you know, this is sort of a random listing, just so you know. On Saturday, Dwight Hackett's Projects has paintings and prints by Ricardo Mazal. It's called Oldenwald 1152, reception 3 to 5. And I do have to plug, because I remember her very well, Evelyn Boren, beautiful watercolorist. She's having a reception and book signing from 2 to 4 Saturday at Nedra Matucci Fine Art. It's called In Pursuit of Color and Light, 983-2731. And I remember teasing her because in the mid-1960s, she was like one of the extra Bond girls in one of those Sean Connery movies where she was swimming around with Sean. But she's turned into a beautiful artist, and she's got an exhibition and book signing on Saturday. What time is it?
Voter registration. It's 546, almost 547. Voter registration throughout Santa Fe County. Ladies and gentlemen, the deadline for registering to vote is October 7th, so that's very soon. If you have not registered to vote, this would be an excellent year to do so. You can register at the Santa Fe County Clerk's Office, the Public Library, Motor Vehicle Division, Santa Fe Community College, the Farmers Market, many more sites. You can get a list of official sites by calling the County Clerk's Office at 986-6280. You can register at the Obama Office, which is at 720 St. Michael's Drive, in the Smith Shopping Center near Chow's Restaurant. You can probably register the McCain office too, but they didn't send me a note about that. But anyway, voter registration and turnout is critical in Santa Fe, Rio Arriba, and San Miguel counties. Let your voice be heard. It's your right to vote. It's your duty to vote.
Excellent. And a quick public announcement for both of us, but really, once again, stressing Pausa Tiempo. Make sure you get us proper press releases with all the information we need, the time, the date, the place, the address, how much to get in, what phone number do we call. And if you have regular listings in Pausa Tiempo, we're trying to update them. Please let us know if these events are still happening. Pay attention to our listings and let us know sometimes if we mess it up and why, and see whether it's our responsibility or yours or a combo. Thanks. Is that the end of the show?
Just about. And there's all sorts of lectures going on at St. John's. We did not get to announcing those, but look in the Pausa Tiempo.
It's a really good issue this week. I'm really proud to be with them. I love being with you, by the way, even when you tease me and beat me up and do terrible things to me. You are going to do terrible things to me later, aren't you?
Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Pausa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican. He has a very funny expression on his face, and he's here with us every Friday speaking of the arts. He's taking off his glasses so that he can look like, and crossing his eyes so that he can look like Frank Sinatra because his eyes are blue. This is Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte.
I know that.
KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org by email or leave a message at 428-1528. Email is better because I don't check that machine all that often, but I try to remember to do so. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, Jazz a la Carta. This coming week we are going to have the Santa Fe semi-annual fund drive, and it is your opportunity to get involved with KSFR by not only appreciating it, but by showing your appreciation in a material way. No donation is too small, no donation is too large. We'll be talking about that next week. We'll also be playing some of our best programs. I'm going to be doing the Barton Gilman interview on running that on Monday morning. And on Tuesday morning, Arianna Huffington. We're going to be talking to her on Tuesday, and much, much more. Dogs and cats and everything else. So keep your dial tuned to Santa Fe Public Radio, KSFR, or streaming on the web, KSFR.org. Robert Knott, have a wonderful weekend.
You too. On the lone prairie, baby, on the lone prairie.
Hey, Robert. Ciao.
Oh, boy.